Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey folks, Hannah here. I'm jumping into your feed before today's episode to let you know that I have a brand new YouTube show called Making Worlds. Monthly episodes are released on our Witch Please Productions Patreon, and they are an absolute hoot. Every episode, I am joined by a cool guest to talk about a sci-fi or fantasy text that has inspired them to move differently in the world and to imagine otherwise. Our first episode was about Our Flag Means Death, and our second episode is about Dimension 20. I am a huge nerd about both of those franchises, so as you can imagine, I had the time of my life. You can watch the episodes or listen to them as a podcast right now by becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/awitchplease. You'll also get access to a backlog of many other perks. Again, head to patreon.com/awitchplease to become a supporter today for as little as $5 a month.
Witch, please, make it make sense to me. Because a muggle in me just wants to know. Oh, oh. Witch, please, make it make sense to me. Because a muggle in me just wants to know.
Hello and welcome to another bonus exclusive, Patreon-only exclusive, special Witch Please Tell Me Q&A. Exclusive. I'm Hannah.
I'm Marcel.
And guess what, Marcel?
What?
We have multiple special guests today.
What? Is that why these jokers are in the Zoom?
Yeah, they're not just here to watch us do our cool thing.
Who are they? Let's tell the people.
It's the whole Witch Please team.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's here. We've got Coach. Say hi, Coach.
Hi.
We've got Zoe. Say hi, Zoe.
Hi. I just copied what you did.
You are fucking with people who have trouble distinguishing between women's voices. And we've got Gabby. Say hi, Gabby.
Hi.
That's perfect.
Ooh, oh, boy.
Absolutely incredible.
We'll just start our first responses by Hannah, or fuck, oh, excuse me, I said Hannah, oh, yeah, here, I have to say Coach here.
I'm so sorry, Coach,
you guys don't
we don't swear in the Witch
yeah,
Please Tell Me.
Yeah, we keep it clean.
It'd be a fun rule to apply just to your guests.
Yeah,
can
sorry,
you
we're allowed to swear, but not you. If you could, sorry, it just, I don't like it when you do it. I just don't like to see a pretty girl swear, you know?
That's like the seventh bad thing you've said in the last
20 minutes. I am exclusively saying shockingly bad things today.
Oh my.
So this is a very special Witch Please Tell Me team edition, which in part we are making, I mean, I feel like we had multiple sinister motivations, but in part it's to mark the transition from the end of the seventh season into our appendix season, and also to, you know, comfort people a little bit about the fact that we're not going anywhere. So I think we're releasing this onto the main feed in addition to our Patreon, right?
Yes, yes. You can think of this less as a transition from the regular books to the appendix and more like a rupture, an appendix rupture.
Oh.
A burst appendix. No, I don't... No, I don't think I'm doing great with metaphors
yeah,
today.
Yeah, the appendix is about to explode inside your body.
All over the main.
You better rush to the hospital. What's happening?
I don't know. But don't worry, because we've got two doctors and three talented
non-doctors.
Non-physicians.
Yeah, let's start by talking about what accreditations we have.
Let's get into the questions.
Wow. I'm not even producing. This is me just being me. but you can. Oh. But I see that you're responding as if I am. Before we go to the questions that we got over Instagram, because Zoe prompted the people, I wanted to hand over the prompt, the question of what exactly is the appendix season? Because we've said it in writing, and we've said it a little bit in vocals at the end of episodes. But in case people are hearing for the first time that this is what we're doing, Hannah and Marcel, what is the appendix season?
It's not gross.
Despite everything you've heard.
I was actually going to propose we do an episode about the abject, so it might get a little gross. Ooh. But the appendix season is an opportunity for us to use some of the critical reading lenses that we've been interested in, but that didn't apply in any logical way to a particular book, either mm-hmm. because they pull together threads that are there throughout the entire series, or because they sort of mm-hmm. talk about the series in more of a like meta way. Like the first episode that we're going to do is the promised, can I spoil the first episode?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it, yeah. It's the promised second part on sentimentality, where we're going to talk about sort of the larger idea of reading Harry Potter as a thing that makes you a better, more moral person. And that's hard, really hard to like attach to a particular book. Same with a lot of mm-hmm. like fan studies stuff is really hard to attach to a particular book, since it's more about sort of the series as a whole. And then the other really exciting thing is that this is an opportunity for us to scroll through our beautiful list of guest pitch ideas and choose some topics that we would have never come up with in a million years, but that mm-hmm. other brilliant people have been like, you need to talk about this thing. And we're like, laughter in Harry Potter? Yes. Immediately. We do need to talk about that right now.
Yes, we do. Did we answer your question, Coach? And by we, I mean Hannah. I helped.
Hannah answered the question super, super well. And then can I ask you, Marcel, what are we doing after the eighth appendix season?
The eighth season,
the appendix season.
Yeah, Marcel, what are we doing next?
Well, we don't know for sure, but we know we're going to keep doing something. And what the appendix season is enabling us to do is play around with some pilots. So not like airplane pilots.
Speak for yourself.
Boy, California has changed.
Wow.
Yeah, I only sleep with pilots now.
You know who's not a nobody?
A pilot.
Yeah, so while we're doing the eighth season / the appendix season, we're going to test out a few different podcast ideas that we have. They will all be very similar to Which Please in terms of taking critical theory and taking popular culture and putting them together to make something fun and neat. But we're going to try out different approaches. We're going to try out different styles, and we'll try out different, if you will, foci, which is the plural for focus. Foci.
You're a foci. And we are going to share those pilots on our Patreon and ask mm-hmm. all of our Patreon supporters to give us feedback and help choose which idea we go with. So if you mm-hmm. have been considering joining the Patreon, this is a very good moment because you get to help decide the future of the podcast.
The stakes have never been higher.
Enough business. It's time for pleasure. Gross. Marcel's face when I said that was appropriate.
Turns out I hate pleasure.
You hate pleasure and you hate jizz. It's such a surprise. Sorry, one of my favorite things is to watch the way Marcel responds when I say the word jizz.
How often are you saying it?
Constantly.
Gabby, you don't even know.
You don't even know.
Horrible.
Really hard. Really hard to hear.
Zoe, you got some questions for us.
I do, and the first question is apt for what we were talking about. Just for this. No. A while back.
jizz is never apt.
I'd like that on a throw pillow.
I love that. Next hat design coach.
Jizz is never apt, just on a baseball cap.
Horrible. It's horrible. But I'll make note of it. No bad ideas.
No bad ideas of brainstorming. We're Ooh. Just spitballing.
Blue sky.
Slash jizzballing.
You're jizzballing. Zoe, what's the question? Make it stop.
I can't stop.
Okay, enough jizz. Question one is, why do you think podcasts as a format lead to such strong parasocial relationships with creators?
It's a great question.
Oh my God.
This is a great question. And I feel like I can't answer it because I famously don't listen to podcasts.
Before we talk about the why, can I hear from everybody who isn't Marcel, because you don't listen to podcasts, about what podcaster who's a total stranger to you, you have the most intense parasocial relationship with? Who's your, like, I absolutely don't know you in real life, but in my heart, you're my friend podcaster?
Can I start?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I used to listen to the podcast Wiretap religiously. It's made by Jonathan Goldstein. I wrote my master's research project on Wiretap, and I got to meet him and interview him, and it was awesome. He was so generous with his time and so kind. And when he stopped making Wiretap, I felt like he broke up with me. Aww. And so he has this new podcast. It's not new anymore. He's been doing it for like 5 years. It's called Heavyweight. And everybody that I know loves it. And everybody tells me that I would love it. And I really can't listen to it because I feel like he broke up with me.
Oh my God, it's like looking pictures of your ex on Instagram happy with somebody new.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I've never done that.
Yeah, I know this is non-relatable, but like, I know I should be happy for you, but like, actually I'm not.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's my example is Jonathan Goldstein.
For me, I like since middle school or early high school, I watched this YouTube channel called Eat Your Kimchi. And it was like about these two Canadians, they were married and they like moved to Korea and they just talked about like Korean culture and going on adventures. And it was super cute. And then last year they divorced. And it was rough. I mean, it obviously horrible for them, but it was interesting seeing how building a channel around your relationship is very hard to deal with once that relationship ends. So now they both like went on to do their own thing, but it's just not the same. It's very but I felt like gutted because I'd known them for so long.
Is there Gabby?
Mine is Terry Gross.
An iconic response.
I think we would I could embark upon a tumultuous affair with her. And you can keep this in.
You hope it gets back to her.
I hope it does. I don't know. I just think she got a sexy voice. What can I say?
Gabby, I want people to know that that's Gabby's answer and that Gabby is not a 60-year-old woman.
No.
By any means.
Right. I am also, I could not be farther. I'm your youngest friend. I'm Coach's youngest friend.
That's true.
Wait, but Coach is so young. How could you be younger?
Thank you so much. And thank you so much. I know. It kind of sucks for me that now you all know somebody younger than me.
Wait, Gabby. Gabby, how old are you?
Do you want to guess first?
Well, based on Coach's answer, 12.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 12.
I'm 24.
Whoa.
Zoe, how old are you?
27.
Whoa. Gabby, you're the baby.
I know.
Aww.
It hurts. Wow. It honestly hurts to hear.
Wow.
Don't worry, Coach. You're always baby.
Aww. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just having a real moment where I'm like, if I'd made an extremely bad choice as a 14-year-old, I could be your parent. Like, not likely, but biologically possible.
It's true.
This is how, like, disoriented I am by my own age. I just was like, could I have been? And I'm like, we are only 6 years apart. But in my head, I was like, wait a minute. One, two.
Oh my God. I love watching you count.
My parasocial relationship, I have to be honest that my first impulse was Matt Potts. And then I was like, no, Hannah, you know him.
That's so cute, though.
I was like, he's my friend. And it's like, well, he's not my friend. No, but he's,
yeah.
I do know him. But I feel like we've met in person and we just simply haven't.
Marcel, because I do remember.
That's the funniest possible answer that Coach could have given.
Never met. Yeah.
After thinking about it, though, my real answer is Charlie McDonald. Do you all know Charlie McDonald, the vlogger?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. She was like,
young people in your vlogs. Yes, I do know.
Yeah. She was really important to me, and I didn't know how parasocial my relationship to her was until just like this year she came out as trans, like really recently. And I watched her videos for like, I don't know, I was like an early viewer, and she got really famous in 2000, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, that kind of thing. And then I've every year, like an old relationship, I like go down a rabbit hole and like watch her videos. And I did that recently and saw that she'd come out as trans, and it definitely felt like a dear friend coming out to me. You know, like it felt like, aww, I just really wanted to like send her a letter, and then I'm like, she doesn't need that, she's fine. But I to be like, I love you so much. But I got like a really, yeah, I got like emotional about, aww, it in a way where I was like, oh, I guess this is deep. This is a deep affinity for.
That's so cute.
Yeah. I love that. And you know what? Just based on the incredibly sweet notes that people send us sometimes, I bet she would love that letter.
You should send that letter.
The only piece of fan mail I've ever sent was to Bo Burnham. So it's good. It's good to do another one.
When?
I think like I was older. I was old. I'm actually not sure if I even ever had the confidence.
Were you old?
It was ancient.
How?
I think
you're
like
young now.
22 or 23.
We've established that is a baby.
Great.
A baby.
Oh, that's the age of a baby.
Itty,
yeah,
bitty,
like
bitty.
I'd seen him perform a bunch. I'd like met him once after a show briefly. Like I sent a letter, I think, being like, you're so important. But I'm actually not sure that I ever sent it. I think I might have just written it. You know what? This is not Which Please Tell Me, Coach. It's
Coach, please tell me.
Coach, please tell me. That's enough. I have boundaries and I know how to enforce them. Moving on.
My answer is the McElroys. And also, my answer to the larger question is that it's the headphone thing. It's the headphone thing and the voice thing.
Yeah. It's a hot medium.
It's a hot medium. It's the whole, like, you plug this sound into your ears and you listen to it privately while you're going about your day-to-day life. And mm-hmm. so your mm-hmm. brain maps the voices of these strangers against your like intimate daily tasks. It just is like it's a like fairly simple sort of brain like neural connection thing. Like I connect your voice to going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
The voice that I hear when I'm going to bed is the voice of somebody who is like close to me and who I feel safe with. And so you just start
science.
To feel.
It's just science.
It is science, actually, baby. I think in part science. And like there's cultural dynamics to it too. Like podcasters know that it's an intimate medium, and so we strategically do things to boost the intimacy because it's part of what people are looking for in the medium. Mm. So like the way to sort of drive that, I just blurbed a new scholarly book by Alan Urat about intimacy and how podcasts like deliberately construct intimacy through a series of tactics, but like that's building on something that pre-exists because of the way that we engage with the medium.
Hmm.
It's almost like an augmented reality medium because we tend to think about AR as like a visual interface, mm-hmm. but podcasting is like audio augmented reality because it takes whatever you're listening to and superimposes it over what you're doing in that moment. So
I know you have a book coming out about Jurassic Park, Hannah, but I think that podcasting as augmented reality should be your new thing.
Cool. I'll make a note.
You know, I've never really thought about the fact that podcasters manipulate, sounds like such a toxic word, but like do manipulate that relationship. But that explains why like audiobooks are not the same. Like I might really like certain audiobook readers, but I don't have the same kind of relationship with them that I do with people who I feel like I have an intimate connection with.
Yeah, because most successful podcasts, I mean, the seriality is part of it too, but most successful podcasts incorporate ways for listeners to interact in some way to build on that, on that feeling of intimacy. Not to reveal how the sausage is made.
We need a new phrase.
Sausage.
We need to see how the cookie gets cooked. The baked. Oh, anyway. All right. Zoe?
The next question is a bit of an odd one, so make of it what you will, but it just says, which Hannah?
The answer is Hannah McGregor. Under any circumstance.
To the question asker, there's only one Hannah, and there's only one coach.
Yeah, sorry. Sometimes people call Coach Hannah, and I'm like, weird.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know that it's your name, but I don't know. And so sometimes I'll, like, see something addressed to Hannah, too, in, like, our in a CC kind of situation. And I'm like, that's not... Coach.
Who the fuck is that?
It is confusing. I'm glad we just decided to not deal with it pretty immediately.
Immediately.
You're like, you're hired. What are we going to call you? Because we simply cannot do this.
Yes.
We can't. And I'm also not, like... I have very few nicknames. People do not nickname me.
Neither do I, though.
Yeah, well, no, you do. You're Coach.
A real first.
I have a theory that, like, I think I put an energy out into the world that discourages undue intimacy.
That's so true. I don't think I've ever had the impulse to call you Han, which is, like, a
Han?
Very common...
Can you imagine?
Okay, all right, okay. Something that people definitely call
my
me.
Brother, my brother calls me Hanny. That is his, and he is the only one who does that. No, my Aunt Sue also does it, because my mom did it. And my friend Holly Kate calls me Hanpan.
Claire calls you Hanner.
Oh, Claire does call me Hanner.
And I will occasionally call you Hanner when I'm channeling Claire energy.
When you're testing out intimacy with Hannah.
Dipping my toe into the deep pool.
But then all I need to do is sort of just give you a like...
Oh,
sorry, Hannah.
Hannah just raised her eyebrow in a very threatening way.
Threatening or intimate? Hard to tell.
That's what intimacy with me is like. It's a constant threat.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, we got to make Gabby and Zoe choose which Hannah. No, we don't. Zoe, next question.
No. Wait. Zoe, before you read the... I just want to say that I really love that the next three questions are all this or that questions. I'm excited.
The next question is Hogwarts or the Burrow?
The Burrow.
Burrow.
Burrow. Hogwarts.
I'd say Hogwarts, too.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Why do you say Hogwarts, Zoe?
I just feel like there's a lot more to explore.
Yeah. Coach, why do you say Hogwarts?
I like fascist institutions that indoctrinate children. I feel like I love the Burrow, but I think it would actually stress me out to, like, actively live there. Like, I like the idea of visit. I would like the relationship to it the way that Harry and Hermione have it, where it's like your friend's house. It is a homecoming for you versus Hogwarts. I'm like, I think, yeah, the endless opportunities to explore and the history, I think, wouldn't ever stop being interesting.
Gabby, why Burrow?
Maybe this is a little sentimental answer, but my partner and all of her roommates lived in a big house in college that we nicknamed the Burrow because it was all very chaotic and messy, and I was full of gay people, and it's like the first, I don't know, like the first place where I had like a big group of queer friends, and so it has literally nothing to do with Harry Potter. I'm just I'm just being earnest.
Oh,
that's really sweet.
That's allowed.
I mean, listen, you're a queer Gen Z-er. Your earnestness is your right.
Thank you. That means a lot. An earnest little baby.
Just an earnest,
New hat coach.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Ernest little baby.
Ernest Whittle.
Whittle baby. Oh my god. I prefer the word jizz to whittle. I'm just gonna go on record saying that.
Oh, what about a whittle jizz?
Oh, yeah. That's the worst thing I've ever.
I'm leaving.
Hannah, why did you say the burrow?
Oh, I mean, it's the same, like, I think Hogwarts would be fun to visit, and I think I would find it profoundly overwhelming in practice. It's too big, it's too many stuff.
Too many stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, I imagine in the burrow, I would build myself a, like, outbuilding. Like, I would need, I just spent a week with my very dear friend, not a week, 4 days. But that's like
thank
almost
you for
a
your
week.
Honesty.
Like Monday to Friday. I was there Monday to Friday. With my dear friend Zena, in her home with her three queer co-parents and their three small children. They have a 4-year-old and 9-month-old twins. And it's the burrow. Like that home is definitely the burrow. Yeah. It's better organized because, you know, because it's like mostly people who are organized. Like they've got systems. Like they take turns doing the bedtimes with the 4-year-old, and they take turns making dinner, and like everything is like shared, and it's so lovely, and it's so communal, and it's so warm. And also by the end of 4 days, I was like, I need to be put in a small space by myself in total silence for a while, because I have lived alone for over a decade, and so I'm not used to that amount of stimulation. But it was also just so lovely. It was so lovely and so nice. And that's burrow vibes for me.
I don't know why I have this in my head, but I can't get over the feeling that Hogwarts is kind of cold. Like, I assume my feet would be cold all the time.
It's got to be cold. There's no way that fucking drafty-ass ancient castle is warm.
It's that's why Dumbledore asked for socks. Like,
that's why.
Yeah. And I really hate having cold feet more than any other part of my body. Cold feet will be my undoing. And I feel like the burrow is very warm and cozy. Mm-hmm. So if I had to choose, I'd choose the burrow.
Cold feet will be my undoing.
I'm almost convinced by that. Yeah, there's like a metaphor. There's a lot there. It's not Marcel. But I'm almost convinced by that because, yeah, I think you're right. Hogwarts would be cold.
They wear slippers.
The way Zoe just rolled her eyes at us, like, bitches, get like, a have slipper.
You have you heard of a slipper?
Do you guys want to see my slippers? Mm-hmm. They're my first pair of Uggs that my friend Nina got me for my birthday.
I love that red poof.
What? What? Zoe is holding up the same slipper.
What? Wait, do it again. Do it again. What the hell? You're both so young.
My God, you're so young.
Not as young as
cool.
me.
Not as young as Gabby. Can I show? So these are my slippers.
Really nice.
Can I tell you the story of my slippers?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what this. So that's what this is for.
Is every? This is a devastating fun fact about Marcel's life. Those slippers were my grandfather's. I got them for him for his last Christmas. He had asked for some new slippers, and I know that he really, really values things made in Canada. And so I found, I can't remember the name of the site, but I found an Indigenous run shoe company in Ontario.
I was gonna ask if they were moccasins because they look like moccasins.
Yeah. and so they're from this company, and so he was really happy with them. And he passed away a couple months later, so my mom and grandma asked me if I wanted to have the slippers, and I was like, yes, I do, that would be so nice. And then the first time I wore them to a thing with other people, a friend of mine was like, oh, those look great. And I was like, yeah, they're my grandfather's. And he said, wow, they're in great shape. And I was like, yeah, you didn't get to wear them for very long. Devastating fun fact.
They're really nice and warm looking. They'd be perfect for Hogwarts.
They're very warm.
They're very beautiful. And I love that you have them. I love Marcel's relationship with her grandfather. They have a very, very beautiful friendship.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a good man.
He was a good
man.
Has
he visited you? Knowing that now that we know that you're like open to paranormal, or you're receptive to.
Do you know what? I have so many dreams where in my dream, my grandfather is there and I realize how special it is that he's there. And so I will like go out of my way to be like very like close to him. Like in one dream, I'm like, can I hold your hand? I would love to hold your hand. And he was like, sure. Yeah, you can hold my hand. And so I'm just, you know, in my dream, like that's the point of the dream is me holding my grandpa's hand.
Definitely him visiting you.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Witch, please, make it make sense to me. Because a muggle in me just wants to know. Oh, oh. Witch, please, make it make sense to me. Because a muggle in me just wants to know.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this wonderful Patreon exclusive, except that we put it on the main feed. So if you want to hear more of this solid gold cuckoo bananas off the cuff, you cannot even imagine where this conversation is going to go kind of content, you should head over to patreon.com/ohwitchplease and consider becoming a patron.
And if you already are a patron, thank you. We love you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.